Zone. If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Alrighty, hands in the air. How many of you paused at least a little bit yesterday to try to take a look at what was going on with the total eclipse? Morning, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke, and I was one of those. I took some time out yesterday to witness what I could, anyhow, in Wisconsin. Boy, oh boy, some beautiful pictures on social media and mainstream media that captured that amazing sight. Obviously, Wisconsin, not necessarily in a real good vantage point as far as our angle on that, but still, pretty impressive all the way around. That is now in our rearview mirror. Today, we are looking for sunny skies. 58 are expected high, maybe clouds rolling in this afternoon. Winds will be out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies and 66. Thursday, a 66% chance of rain in the forecast, 54. Friday, partly cloudy and 58 degrees. Weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on the way. We're also going to be talking about the latest crop progress report, how Wisconsin farmers have been faring as far as field work is concerned. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, steps in to join us. And 4-H camp, if you've ever gone, I hope it brings a smile to your face just to think about 4-H camp. Well, guess what? It's back again in 2024. And a lot of the staples that you enjoyed maybe a couple decades ago are still around. Visiting with a Dodge County Extension agent on why you might want to think about getting your kids involved in a Wisconsin 4-H camp.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Following an already challenging year for apple production, the weather continues to play a major role in yields growers see for 2024. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Steve Lewis, owner of Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center, says that growers across the country are all at different stages of production. He, for example, has had buds break dormancy already this year, marking the earliest that he can ever remember.
We broke buds, you know, probably 2 weeks ago now. Now, the last 2 weeks have been, you know, just the weather what we would need it here now, you know, last week and this week. Cool things down, slow things down. We haven't gotten too cold yet. I don't think we've gotten any damage. We've had a couple nights. We've been really close, but so far we're doing okay.
So that sounds like a silver lining, but what are you worried about then as you're walking through and just looking at your trees?
Well, you know, now that we've broken there, you know, anytime we get above, you know, the low 40s, they're going to, you know, just keep going and maturing, you know, and as we get farther and farther into the stages, you know, they get the critical low temperatures that they can tolerate start to rise. You know, right now we're probably around that 17, 18 degrees that they can take without damage. We've already had two nights down in the 20s, low 20s, so we're getting really close there. But, you know, right now we're, you know, kind of at what we would call silver tip to green tip stage. As we go just a little bit longer, you know, we'll start to get towards that, you know, when the flowers start to come out, tight cluster and pink and that stages, then we start to get where we can, you know, we need to be 27 and above. You know, we start to get around 28, we start to get some injury. We get to about 25 when we get a lot of injury.
So what's your plan of attack moving forward then?
You know, really going forward, just going to kind of monitor and see what the long-term forecast is. There are some nutrients that we can give to the tree to try and help them in these stress conditions, but we need the right conditions to get them. You know, right now they wouldn't do anything because there's not enough leaf out there to absorb those nutrients. But as we get closer to bloom, if we get some more, you know, cooler conditions and some repeated cold spells, we can kind of give them that to try and nurse them through.
You kind of highlighted already the dry soil moisture. So how are you coping with that?
You know, we battled the drought conditions as bad a conditions that I've ever seen in you know, the last 30 years, really from last April all the way through, you know, into the fall was terrible. We're still incredibly dry. We've missed a lot of the snows this winter. And in the last 3 weeks, the rains that, you know, a lot of people have gotten around us here, we've maybe gotten a half to three quarter inch total in those three storms. So we're really, really lacking in moisture. That's another thing that kind of gives me some concern that are we stressed with that already, that, you know, the cold conditions were even going to hit us harder. Not a lot we can do. You know, it's really hard to start irrigating in this kind of weather because when you're freezing at night, it runs into problems. So once we get past that freezing and probably, you know, start irrigating a lot sooner than what we would have normally done.
Your operation, your fields, they're kind of on a hillside. So how does that impact things then when it comes to this for you?
Yeah, so we're planted on the tops of the hills for a reason, and that's to avoid the frost in the spring. You know, that cold air will drain into the valleys and give us some protection in the spring. You know, sometimes 5 to 10 degrees warmer up here than, you know, just a half a mile down in the valley. So that's the reason we're planted where we are, to try and mitigate some of those.
What are you hearing from growers around you? Anything that's sticking out to you?
You know, everybody's kind of dealing in the same thing. Guys up north are maybe a little better. They aren't quite as far as us. Been a little cooler, but guys all around the you know, Midwest, Michigan's in the same stage. Guys out east are probably a little farther along than we are. They have not seen the colder conditions that we have, but we've got a long ways to go before we're out of the woods.
We also have to talk about insects or weed control when we think about weather. Those are definitely affected by the weather. So are there any concerns moving into this growing season? Are there maybe some coming out earlier than they normally would, or what have you been seeing?
We don't think so. We were so dry last year that that helped us with a lot of the insect pressure. This year, we don't think we're going to see anything different with our normal pests. The one thing that we're really concerned in this area is it's the 17-year cicada hatch, and we are kind of right in the epicenter of what that could be, a potential really, really damaging year with those. 17 years ago when they hatched, we had a lot of damage. They're kind of a difficult insect to control. What they do is they'll crawl up the trees and they'll sting the branches and lay their eggs in there. And then as those eggs mature, then it'll kill the branch. And in these smaller type trees we have, they could do a tremendous amount of damage to those trees.
Is there any way that you can prepare for that then? Or is it more of a cross your fingers and hope for the best?
We've been really doing a lot of talking. You know, we're really trying to push the envelope in the last 10 years here on going towards, you know, very light chemistry, softer things, you know, trying to be a lot easier on, you know, the whole environment, so we're not using nearly as harsh of chemicals. So that really poses a problem with what we can use to control the cicadas and not really throw the whole thing out of balance that we've worked so hard on the last 10 years, you know, to try and, you know, be easier on the bees, be easier on the predator insects that are out there that help us control the problem insects. And that's a really big concern for us, how we're going to control these this time without throwing everything out of balance.
We talked about pests like insects, but when I hear pests, I also think of deer or other wildlife. So are those an issue for you at all?
A little bit, you know, not much. Our whole entire orchard is fenced, so we've got an 8-foot-tall fence to keep the deer out because, you know, 20 years ago they were such a problem. And the way we grow apples now, we could not grow apples where we are without having them fenced. They would do so much damage. The deer numbers in our area are down significantly from where they were 10 years ago, but even that, you know, a few deer can do a lot of damage in an apple orchard because it's their favorite thing and they just keep coming back. So we have those all fenced out. That helps us control some other things, but, you know, in a winter time with a lot of snow, we can get, you know, rabbits and mouse damage. This past winter, we were, you know, no snow and bare, so that helped kind of mitigate that.
How about in terms of shipping or pricing? Are you expecting any issues there?
Shipping, from what I've talked with most of our people we work with, is starting to stabilize a little bit. Pricing, unfortunately, on the apple side of the industry, really took a nosedive middle of the season last year and this year, and appears is going to be down this whole entire year, unless there's a major weather effect someplace where somebody loses a lot of their crop.
So obviously it's a little early to tell right now, but if you had to kind of project out, what would you say is your overall outlook for the season?
I think, you know, we should be sitting, looking at probably a normal crop, or hoping. We're a little concerned with, you know, what our tree health and our bud health is coming off of the dry season last year. So what of our, you know, what will those buds look like? Even if we get through, you know, a spring frost and not have any injury there, what we're going to look like there for a crop to set if the trees are strong enough to set a good crop. You know, some rains this spring could really help strengthen those trees. And we've got a little bit of time to hopefully we start to catch up on some of those things. So I think it's, you know, we just always encourage, you know, all the customers to, you know, to try and buy local and visit their local farm markets or orchards as often as they can when the season is on, and just enjoy that and enjoy that getting to know those people and building those relationships from a source of produce that they can trust.
That was Steve Lewis, owner of Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center. He says a normal bloom time is around the 5th or 10th of May, and that sets him up to be able to be harvesting around the 10th of September or so. However, this year he thinks he'll be a bit ahead of schedule. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau helps our organization advocate for agriculture by putting us at the table with the right individuals. I've heard a lot of times that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu when it comes to ag policy. We need people to help us make the right connections, get in front of the right people and policymakers that are affecting decisions that impact agriculture.
WFBF.com.
You should look them up.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the spring supplies you need because we get you. For farms and projects of any size, find the right products at the right prices. Like 2.5 gallons of Clean Def, just $8.49. 2,000-pound Champion ATV-UTV winch kits, $79.99. Rewards members save an extra $10. Better Built truck boxes, 10% off. Rewards members save 15%. Plus, join us in Madison, Wisconsin for the Midwest Horse Fair. Stop by the Blaine's Farm and Fleet booths for discounts, giveaways, and more.
Have you heard about our Rejuvenation Clinic Body Suite? If not, now is the time to learn more.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Non-surgical aesthetic body treatments have progressed greatly in the last 10 years. We are proud to offer the best devices on the market that deliver incredible results. M-Sculpt Neo treats unwanted body fat and builds muscle mass. Cool Sculpting Elite reduces stubborn fat bulges and has multiple applicators to treat many areas of the body. M-Cella is a revolutionary electromagnetic chair that strengthens pelvic floor muscles to treat mild to moderate urinary incontinence. Our providers love to analyze your concerns and come up with the best treatment plan for you, oftentimes even using a combination approach so you get the best results.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn if our Body Suite treatments can help you, call Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. We've got Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on the way. Stick around for weather details. Well, you know, as this weather improves more and more, Wisconsin farmers are going to be out on the roadways trying to take care of their spring planting tasks. For a lot of our livestock operators, that means that they're going to continue to try to get nutrients out on those fields as fast as they can so that they get a chance to capitalize on the nutrition that it brings to their fields for spring planting. Renee Kuslick can tell you all about it. She's one of the team members with Strong Microbials. They're in Milwaukee, and they've launched iManure, Intelligent Manure. No doubt, most folks in this audience have caught at least once or twice a whiff of that nutrient package that our farmers are spreading out on farm fields. Well, iManure basically would help to try to mitigate some of that smell. Renee Kuslick explains a little bit more about the concept.
It's called iManure, Intelligent Manure, but essentially it's microbes that go in and redigest everything that's already in the pit. So it eats up any clumps and keeps eating until they run out of food. So anything new thrown into the pit will continue to be reabsorbed. And the best thing is, being a good neighbor, these microbes also will trap the ammonia in it so it becomes more available in the soil and less gaseous and smelly to your neighbors.
Well, there you go, trying to be a good neighbor. Renee Kuslick, again, she's with Strong Microbials out of Milwaukee. We're talking about their new technology, Intelligent Manure, iManure. And she explains that it might also help save you space when it comes to manure storage.
They will work on everything except sand. We still don't have a microbe that eats sand as much as I've asked. But it works on sawdust bedding. It works on straw. It does quite a bit as well as making chunks float to the top. So you have less need for agitation and more ease of pumping. We suggest treating monthly. We've also had people shock it and do it once or twice a year, but we suggest for ease of pumping and ease of maintenance just once a month.
Again, Renee Kuslick, the technology is called iManure, strong microbials out of Milwaukee, helping to hopefully get less odor in neighborhoods, also reduce fly and pest populations. Here's our pest, Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us this morning. Welcome in, buddy. Hey, did you see the eclipse yesterday? Did you take any time to try?
You know, I saw it starting. I was outside. I was like, yep, sky's looking different. Looked at the time. Oh, I got a while. Went inside and did something. And the next time I looked at the clock, it was 2:30.
Yeah. Me and the neighbors, a couple of us were outside. They had the glasses on. I was kind of using my cell phone to track what I could. I think Wisconsin probably missed out on the real vivid visuals, despite the fact that it was a gorgeous day.
Yeah, yeah. You could see there was that change, but that's about all I noticed. And it was a gorgeous day that left us all wanting to get a little more work done. No doubt about that. Really fine conditions were seen, although there was still a little rain here and there off in the north. There's still a little rain off in the north this morning as well. In fact, that radar indicating scattered showers north and northeast of Wausau, up through Tomahawk, Rhinelander, Anago, up into the UP. Some sprinkles to the west of that as well. So we're not quite done with rain in the state, but low pressure is going to travel from eastern and northeast parts of Minnesota up into Canada today. Any clouds or precipitation in northern Wisconsin will taper off and come to an end. In the south, I still expect some sunshine and another very fine day. Temps very much like yesterday, back up around 60 or even a little warmer in the west, so it sounds pretty mild. The next low pressure system begins to build in from the west. That system coming up from the south, in fact, will lead to some rain chances toward Wednesday night into Thursday. A little measurable rain, and the temps will stay a little cooler with that rain chance, too. I'll have forecast details right after this.
The mild weather we enjoyed in Wisconsin could add up to big pest problems for our crops this year. Steve Bailey is in Monroe, one of the Helena Agra advisors.
One thing I would challenge guys to think of, and a little bit of a conversation I've been having this last month, is we didn't get a killing frost. And what I mean by that is a lot of these rootworm beetles didn't have that frost to really nip them off. So I would challenge everybody that's listening today, make sure that if you're corn on corn, you're running a traded corn and or maybe a granular insecticide, or if you have in-furrow starter, there's options there too. But I think guys are really going to want to take a very close look to their fields and follow the insect pressure that we're going to have this year.
Rootworms, just one of the insects to keep an eye on, according to Steve Bailey from Monroe, one of the Helena Agra reps. You can find out more and find your local Helena rep at helenaagri.com. All right, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, well, mostly sunny in the south, a few clouds in the north. Temperatures pretty nice, very upper 50s and low 60s everywhere. West winds 5 to 15. Still clear overnight, a few upper 30s in the north, low 40s elsewhere, southwest winds at 5, becoming partly sunny Wednesday and even warmer in the mid-60s with the southwest winds at 5 to 10. But by Thursday, more clouds, some rain, showers, mid-50s, north winds gusting to 25 or more. And Thursday and Thursday night, Pam, some quarter to half inch amount of rain, not out of the question.
Quarter to half. All right. That's all right. I was looking at my talk text line from kind of the wrap-up yesterday. Everybody, you know, happy to report that they were picking up a tenth of an inch, two tenths of an inch. But they also were pretty quick to point out that we could use more than that.
Oh, yeah, we had another, if it is a half inch Thursday night, that's a nice moisture again.
Well, like I said, there's still, really, depending on where you are, there's not much for standing water anywhere in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, no, it soaked in pretty quick, didn't
it? Yeah, it did. All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thank you.
You bet. See ya.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with weather details you're looking for on a Tuesday. And as always, that talk text line is available to you anytime you want to talk. 877-301-FARM. 877-301-FARM. 301-3276. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's going to be joining us in about a half an hour. Dairy is actually probably our focal point of conversation. It's pretty active this morning if you haven't seen. We've got details on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
There goes Pam Youngke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Have you been wanting to try non-surgical body sculpting but unsure where to start? We can help.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
M-Sculpt Neo is a game changer in the world of body contouring. With its dual technology of heat and magnetic energy, Neo can reduce fat by 30% and increase muscle mass by 25%. With Neo, you can enjoy simple, comfortable sessions and no downtime. You'll even feel stronger in just a few sessions. One patient recently said, "I can tell in my crunches and golf swing. I wish I had known about this sooner." This was after only two treatments. M-Sculpt Neo is perfect for those looking to kickstart their fitness journey, enhance their athletic performance, or simply feel more confident in their own skin.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn more, visit rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
We're known for our sweet moves, but what you might not know is that we can store your stuff too. Yep, from one day to one year. We can hold on to your things on our trucks or in our warehouse. This is Brenda from Mad City Moving. We call that the unexpected storage move.
Mad City Moving dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like these before.
Making a decision on new home furnishings is easy with Lazy Boy. You already know he only cares about the comfort, but it's the luxury and design you crave. You choose the style, patterns, and material while he's imagining himself being seated right in front of the 50-yard line. Call it lazy luxury at its finest.
Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison, East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
Huh. Nice. Hardwood floor. Or is it? Sounds like a floor. It's not squishy. That's good. Floors aren't supposed to squish. Goes wall to wall, like good floors do. And I'm walking all over it. Usually, a dead giveaway that it's a floor. But it's not a floor. This is a mattress. Charlie Heidel's for 52 days. People like Charlie are scattered all across Dane County. And because the need is there, so are we. This year, we'll supply nearly $400,000 in bedding, furniture, clothing, and household items to people like Charlie. Just one part of the more than $1.4 million in food, shelter, and other goods and services we provide. We're St. Vincent de Paul, helping our neighbors in need.
Sometimes it's nice to let the kids have their own space downstairs. It's also pretty awesome to expand that basement into usable living space or entertainment area. Actuate Improvement will transform your basement into a livable area everyone can enjoy. Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
The stage is set, the crowd is holding its breath, and here we go. The tip-off for tonight's meal is underway, and Spudley waits no time, dribbling that Wisconsin potato, sprinting to the kitchen, weaving around pots and pans, and making a clutch shot right in the oven during this thrilling dinner menu matchup. Now, here's a meal that's certainly living up to the hype. Celebrate your own victories in a big way.
High five, Spudley.
EatWisconsinPotatoes.com.
Strange popping sounds coming from your jaw when you eat? Neck or facial pain? Unexplained headaches or migraines? Grinding your teeth or sleep apnea? These could be caused by TMJ disorder, the dysfunction of the jaw muscles and joints. The TMJ and Sleep Center takes a non-invasive, people-friendly approach to realigning your jaw muscles and joints using neuromuscular measurements and custom treatment plans. No surgery, no daily medications. To learn more or schedule a free consultation, visit TMJPainCenter.com.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
Zachy, let me ask you this. Speaking of a-holes, I was asked this question earlier today, about half an hour ago. I thought it was interesting. Who would you rather have as a head coach, John Calipari, who just went from Kentucky to Arkansas, or Greg Gard?
That's a great question.
I know. I was. I had to think about it, and I said Gardo.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. All we do right now is talk about how Greg Gard, and it's not totally accurate, but like can't recruit elite players, can't do this, can't have teams that, and all the people that talk about John Calipari, he can't coach in big games.
But he can recruit.
He falls apart in big games. He's got all his talent. He falls apart in big games. I don't know which one would be more confounding and more anger inducing. I think it probably be the lack, inability to finish in big games, but at least you are in those big games too.
Yeah.
Whereas, but again, Kentucky's had a lot of talent and not won nearly as many titles. I remember going back and I think it's probably 2015, 2016, talking about John Calipari as a coach and being like, he's kind of underachieved. And they're like, no, he's got a national title. He's been in all these Final Fours. I'm like, yeah, but he's always had the best talent.
Yeah.
He just doesn't get it done. His whole thing is not the other thing that'd be very anger inducing is his whole thing is not about winning. It's about helping those players get to the NBA,
yeah,
getting and making their dreams come true. So I guess I'd rather have Greg Gard, but all that talent coming into Madison, if that were actually to end up being the case, it'd be tough to turn that down.
I think it shows how just a good of a coach as Greg Gard is. Right? I mean, Calipari's getting NBA-laden teams. Like, everyone there is, like, destined to the NBA. And they haven't gotten out of the first round since, 2019? You're listening to a guy who's, like, a realtor or insurance salesman in Oakland? Like, Greg Gard, I know they lost to James Madison, but, I mean, there's been Sweet 16s. There's been some runs, Hell, they beat Purdue.
No, let's be fair. I mean, they haven't been on the second weekend since 2017.
Yeah, but they still, I left that part out intentionally, but come on.
I know what you did. I know it doesn't help the point. Nor does losing to a 12 seed in 2019 or losing to a 7 seed in a home game.
Calipari just lost to some electricians and realtors and a freaking plumber.
Hey, it's tough when a guy goes off for 10 three-pointers. What are you supposed to do with that? Wisconsin, James Madison shot like 40%. They'll beat him by double digits. But slightly different thing here. I think we kind of talked about this. It's like, if you're Kentucky, like, yeah, that sucks. But, like, at least the guy played well. At least, you got girl people throwing up 10 three-pointers. And James Madison didn't play well offensively at all. And, that was a little bit different losses. But I'm just saying, like, when you're losing to double-digit seeds on a regular basis, or you're losing to teams
that's
that
what Kentucky's doing
lower than you, right? But so is Wisconsin.
So do you
like
lean?
One is having,
do you lean? Guard?
Like either one is having a ton of success.
Do you lean guard over Calipari, or do you want the slimy?
Sliminess
of Calipari.
Everything in college basketball is sliminess at this point, right?
Yeah.
If depending on how you view it. It's all legal now, so we can't sit here and call it slimy.
So how the hell does Rick Pitino get busted for like tampering?
Right?
Like you're in an illegal time legally, but he's still finding ways to get it illegally done and busted. Like it's a head scratcher.
It's very tough. It's very tough because we know that even before guys hit the transfer portal, there's other teams talking to them. We know that you're not like when you go into the transfer portal, a lot of guys already have their location. They already know where they're going and they already know the money that's going to be coming towards them. And that is, obviously not legal.
Do you have you heard of any names coming to Wisconsin for the portal at all? Or anyone that like besides Chucky's buddy, the hell is his name that took the visit?
Frankie Fiddler.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Wants to work into his way. They're after a number of other guys, a guy like, his name's Brandon Angel. He's a guy from Stanford. He's forward. Wisconsin almost got him coming out of high school, but they ended up, it was essentially whoever took the scholarship first. It was between him and Ben Carlson from Minnesota, the four-star forward. And Ben Carlson ended up taking it. Wisconsin actually was on their way. Greg Gard and one of the assistants were actually on the plane going out to see Brandon Angell out in California. And he ended up, they ended up getting a call from Carlson saying, you know, I'm going to take the scholarship. And they're like, all right, well, I guess we're not going to California. So
now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, stepping in to join us this morning. Not a lot happening in the marketplace, at least not right now. We'll find out what the news headlines are all about when John joins us. Today is the ninth day of April. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1898, Curly Lambeau was born. Of course, he ended up being the founder, a player, a coach, and ultimately the vice president of the Green Bay Packers. He was born in Green Bay, died in 1965 at just the age of 67. Curly Lambeau, born on this day in 1898. On this day in 2005, Prince Charles marries Camilla Parker Bowles. Was formerly married to Princess Diana, of course. Camilla, his second marriage, that made him the very first member of the British royal family to have a civil wedding. Prince Charles marries Camilla Parker Bowles on this day back in 2005. Happy birthday today to actor Dennis Quaid, 70 years young. Cynthia Nixon, she is 58 years young. And now you know. Have you ever noticed that once in a while when you use a phrase, everybody around you just automatically gets it? They smile, they nod, they react. What if I use the phrase 4-H camp? Now, 4-H is a program that involves youth from all different kinds of backgrounds, all different geographies, all across the state of Wisconsin. It's a nationwide program. It's really a global program when it comes to building young people's leadership abilities, exposing them to new opportunities. And that's what I saw in 4-H camp. Now, 4-H camps have been around for decades in Wisconsin. Many of you, I bet, could share some great stories about your involvement in 4-H camp, maybe as a youth, maybe as a counselor. I talked about it all with Marie Witzel. She is the Dodge County 4-H Extension Specialist, and right now she is busy trying to get all the details pulled together for 4-H camp and the Dodge County youth that will be involved. And she said one thing that's changed the value of 4-H camp since the pandemic is bringing young people together, minus their parents, to experience new friendships and new learning opportunities. But it brings with it a little bit of stress. And Marie Witzel says that's something that 4-H counselors are taking seriously this year, recognizing that by those young people stepping out of their shell, stepping out of their security circle, they're vulnerable. And she wants to be respectful of that.
That's one of the things that I wanted to focus on last summer. I heard from some people that had gone to a national training last year that maybe we need to talk about some of the things we don't talk about with young people. Mental health, anxiety, some of those things that we don't know that young people may be dealing with. And so how do we do that? And so what I decided to do last summer is I made a 4-week newsletter. So each week leading up to camp, I was sending out just a 1-page thing. And, you know, the first one was kind of an introduction and an opportunity for them to get to know a little more about me and our counselors. We did a video with our counselors. And so I had that clip in there. And then to ask them, are there things that we need to know about your young person that's coming to camp? Like, do they usually sleep with a stuffed animal or something like that? Do we need to make sure that we were thinking about those to help relieve some of that anxiety of maybe being away from home for the first time? We don't, you know, however that may look. And so that was really, I think, helpful for the families. I think that helped them to bring them at ease. And then in the middle of that 4 weeks, I did an evening Zoom where parents and kids could get on, and we talked about camp, and then parents felt a little more comfortable that they could call me and say, okay, so this is what I'm worried about with my young person. So that was helpful as well, is because, like you said, they haven't been away from families, and maybe even with COVID, they're not doing sleepovers with their friends. You know, all of the things that you and I grew up, like, that was just normal. I'd be over at so-and-so's house for, you know, a couple of days or whatever, working on whatever projects at the farm or whatever it may be. And so young people haven't necessarily done that. And so trying to help them feel comfortable to be in that setting with new friends. And also then when we get to camp, making sure that they know and have a chance to meet these new people and build some connection so they feel more comfortable as well.
Marie Witzel's along with us. She is the 4-H Extension Agent for Dodge County, and we're talking about 4-H Summer Camp, and it is an opportunity provided all across the state of Wisconsin in different dates, different locations. Now, let's help people understand for parents that are saying, wait a minute, my kid can't put up a tent, my kid can't, cook over an open fire, that type thing. It is not, at least every camp that I've ever experienced, Marie, is safe and far from uncomfortable. It's just different.
It is different. And actually, the camp that we use and what a lot of people use for, especially the third to sixth grade members, is that they are actually at a camp facility. And so there are cabins that usually house, like our camp has probably about 20 young people in the cabin. And there are teen counselors in that cabin, and there are adults in a separate room at that cabin. And so the camp facility that we rent, they have a food service. And so they provide all of the food. They provide lifeguards. But that's big things that they provide. The seventh and eighth graders now, those outpost experience, that may be a little bit different. In our particular, this is the first year we're going to do outpost as a part of our camp. And in that, they're going to have kind of like those yurts. I don't know what else you call them. It's a soft-sided kind of tent thing that's already living at the camp. So they're not built putting up a tent. And they may start doing some cooking over a fire and things like that. But we also only have 20 kids that are doing that this year. Mm-hmm. And so that was our kind of our set target is like, okay, we're only going to have 20 seventh and eighth graders that are cooking over a fire and learning how to do some of those outdoor living skills.
Marie Witzel, hopefully giving you a little bit better idea of what 4-H camp is all about. She's the Dodge County 4-H Youth Extension Specialist and encourages parents that want their kids to maybe think about 4-H camp, contact your county extension office, find out what available dates look like. There's also the state 4-H campgrounds that's outside of Wisconsin Dells in Upham Woods. But the bottom line is, there's an opportunity that I'm afraid many families otherwise would overlook. We don't want to overlook the markets. Just a quick look for you this morning. Right now, December corn's currently down a penny, sitting at 4.72. November beans are unchanged, 11.84. July wheat down 6, 5.74. Yesterday, the barrel cheese in Chicago gained 3¾ cents to 156¾. 40-pound block cheese was up 3½ at 155. Double A butter 3 cents stronger on Monday to 2.97 a pound. The May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 8 cents right now at 16.83. June closed 35 cents stronger yesterday, 17.39 a hundredweight. What is going on with that robust dairy complex that we witnessed yesterday? Probably one of the questions I'm going to be talking about with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's on the horizon.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' 3 locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
This is Matt
and Pete Gunderson.
We recently celebrated the life of Dan, a devoted motorcyclist who enjoyed the freedom of the road with other bikers. His celebration involved a final ride in the saddlebag of his best friend, just the way he wanted. Allow us to personalize every detail of a life well lived.
Let our family help your family.
Visit GundersonFH.com. Over 100 years as your hometown life celebration center.
You work hard at your game because for you, it's not just a game, it's your passion. But that plateau feels like an eternity.
Level up with Carbon World Health's state-of-the-art recovery modalities.
Restore your body and mind with cryotherapy, red light therapy, vitamin drips, and more. Embrace your athletic journey with Carbon World Health, a hormone health and fitness spa.
Madison West and CarbonWorldHealth.com.
Buying a really good piece of jewelry may seem intimidating, but not after you talk with William Thomas. They take the time with you so you know your money is well spent, not overspent. Their decades of knowledge shine almost as brilliantly as the stunning stones in your custom piece. Come see the collection of gorgeous gems and choose one for your very own.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Celebrating 30 years of brilliance.
Pam is the name. Farm speak is the game. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You know, and I always want to remind you that we're open and interactive with you. If you've got a question about anything that you hear on the show or something that you wonder about connected to food production or Wisconsin agriculture, just use our talk text line and let us know. That's 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Understanding that sometimes we get caught up in jargon or maybe something that's not as easily consumed by the non-farm public. We want to make sure we're helping you out there, but you've got to tell me, okay? So use that talk text line. Same thing when we have people like John Heinberg joining us. He's with us on a Tuesday morning. He is one of the broker analysts, market specialist with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. If we get a little high, a little deep in the weeds, you don't be afraid to let us know that you need explanation. Explanation's kind of what I'm looking for this morning, John. Enough for people to notice changeover in what was going on in the dairy complex. You say it really has to do, kind of going back to a subject matter that I've been talking about for it seems like forever, that highly pathogenic avian influenza situation that started in Texas in our dairy cattle spread to, I think the last time I heard, 6 states when Ohio got added in. You say that is part of the story you want to share this morning.
Yeah, just, you know, we got to cover some things sometimes, you know, what happens in the news cycle and how the markets react to what comes across in news events and things of that nature. And, you know, there is also the underlying story for milk prices. We've been really on a tumble going back to the middle of February. Some of that ties into when we first started hearing talk of cattle getting ill before we knew it was the HPAI, you know, in Texas and things of that nature. And it brought some fear into the marketplace. Now, I add into that some demand concerns. You saw cheese prices kind of tumble, you know, and other things of that nature. And the milk prices just took basically a bloodbath here until, you know, last week in April. And or last week, you know, and we finally found some footing here. Now, all of a sudden, the market seems to have kind of gotten past that news cycle a little bit. You know, we get those news stories. It hits the media. People come and react. I even have people asking me what's going to happen to the price of eggs, what's going to happen to the price of milk, you know, out in the street, you know, of which obviously you say, you know, these are very small isolated incidences when you think about the major market, you know, and it just kind of feels like that kind of moved through the milk market. And now we've kind of found ourselves a bottom. Cheese prices found some footing, which obviously is helping too. And next thing you know, the May contracts picked up $1.20 off its lows in a matter of a handful of days.
Yeah. And that, like you had mentioned before, whether we like it or not, that is the way trade happens today. Computers and algorithms, not necessarily people with a pulse.
Very much so. And, you know, and those, the computers and the algos are a major factor in this, more than people realize. And sometimes it makes it very, very difficult for producers to manage prices because, again, a headline or just a title can bring some, you know, quick reaction. Just going to give a quick example. I do another podcast or another group, and the headline was cattle market collapses, and that was right when we were kind of talking about the HPAI. I get 17,000 views on that podcast. Typically, I get about 2,000, 3,000. So you can tell we must have triggered something in the algos to get those computers and people looking at that podcast for some reason. Again, that just tells you it's a great reflection of how the media and the current market environment can be triggered just by one word or another that comes through some form of social media.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us this morning. Always want to remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number if you ever want to talk to John, 800-334-9777. 79. All right, so let's pivot a little bit. I'm fine. I get it as far as the headlines and the quick reaction. But dairy now, for 2 days, we've seen a pretty substantial bump up on our cheese price. Butter's been doing pretty well. Is that motivated by the same kind of, I don't want to say false news, that's way overused, John, but is it influenced by the same kind of algorithms and action?
Well, it kind of comes, it's a trickle effect. If the consumer feels concerned, they step away from products. That hurts demand, turns off the demand cycle a little bit in that regard. Now, also, like you said, we were just running through a demand hole at this time frame, and now finally starting to see some pickup in cheese prices across the globe, as well as, you know, obviously here in the United States. Milk supplies are actually starting to crank up a little bit now. We're hitting the springtime window and things are getting, you know, we're seeing the production ramp up here in this area. But it just was to a point where sometimes markets move beyond where they need to just because of events, money flow, things of those nature. And that's why you see some sometimes quick movements in a marketplace as all of a sudden now, hey, reality is really probably not where we were. It's where we probably should be, where we are now, which is about a buck above where we've been. So now the key for the milk market, we've had this price recovery. We're back to the $16, $17 handle in these front months. You know, we're still on a down slope in terms of the market price overall, but maybe we can hold in here for a while. But the key still comes back to the consumer wanting to step into the market, buy cheese, buy milk products, you know, as well as the export side of the equation in terms of getting product moved overseas.
So let's just talk for a moment about overseas. It's been a while since we talked at all about what's going on in South America, John, transportation-related issues. We're getting ready to hit the fields. Where is South America standing? How's their weather?
All right, reviewing quickly where Brazil is. They're getting real close to the end of that harvest. They're in the last, you know, 20% or so of that harvest for those soybeans. But we're starting to see some things happen. The Brazil prices are on the climb. So it's starting to tell me maybe those beans aren't out there. Producers aren't selling them to the level that, you know, we've seen in the past. And that's kind of maybe helped support the soybean market here, at least a little bit in the front run. You know, so we're kind of moving past the window in terms of that Brazil harvest, watching the weather for the corn crop. At this time, no concerns for the whole. There's obviously isolated areas that have dryness concerns or wetness concerns, given the size of the country. So right now, Brazil's in pretty good shape where we are. Biggest focus now is Argentina. We're getting close to the harvest window there. We're just starting to see soybean harvest begin, as well as corn harvest right around the corner. They're dealing with some disease issues on the corn side. They got a big infestation of leafhoppers, which brings what they call stunt disease. And actually, yesterday, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange lowered their corn crop by 2 million metric tons based on the impacts of that disease coming through. Now, they're still producing a monster crop, a record crop. There was 55 million tons. They're now at 52. So it just tells you what type of corn crop we're getting out of Argentina. That's going to be another wet blanket that's going to fit on top of our corn prices if we get any type of a rally.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us this morning. Let's pivot then and talk another wet blanket that the cattle market had dealt with, kind of back to our initial conversation. High path avian influenza put a big question mark in the beef supplies, and there still seems to be some sluggishness related to people's pocketbooks, huh, John?
Very much so. I mean, beef demand is a big concern right now, and the markets were fluffy. In other words, we have high prices compared to historical levels. We get that headline. We see a little money flow, triggered some stops. Boom, down the market falls very, very quickly. Now, we're trying to find some stability, at least on yesterday's trade after a difficult week again last week. So we'll have to watch. One of the biggest trends, though, I was kind of keeping an eye on retail values. We saw choice carcasses drop back under the $300 level on Friday for the first time since going back to early February. So that kind of has us concerned, you know, maybe the consumer demand for beef is slowing here. I think some of that was more tied to the weather, Easter being early, things of that nature coming into play. Now we'll see if this market can find some stability. Again, charts don't look very good, and sometimes the technical trade in terms of how a price moves can outweigh the fundamentals in shorter term windows like this. But at least we saw retail values pop back a little bit yesterday. Again, prices got cheap enough. You saw the retailers or the consumers step into that market and they want that retail beef. Now with a little bit warmer forecast, you know, typically we see our peak in retail values around June. So hopefully we can find some footing in that market as well, because the cattle numbers still are not out there. But unfortunately, the price move is more because of other factors sometimes in the marketplace and money flow.
Have we gotten a handle on how many head were lost in that panhandle fire?
Still haven't got a good grasp of that number overall, other than just some averages and really, again, something moving out of the news cycle. We haven't seen a whole lot of coverage on it. Those numbers will show up a little bit more as we get closer to July. We get our next cattle and calves report, and we'll see some of those numbers come forward there, at least in terms of cow numbers. So again, it's a still tight cattle supply market. We still got extremely aggressive cattle prices on the countryside in terms of looking for feeders, what producers have to pay for those feeder cattle, just because of the competitions out there and just the lack of animals that are available.
All right, got to let you go. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, totalfarmmarketing.com. We'll see you tomorrow.